You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
It's a beautiful morning. We got a new act. It's phenomenal. It's sensational. It's terrific. It's even mediocre.
No, it's disgusting. It's a ploy.
What a ass.
You have a pretty fun show. I listen to it most of the time, you know. Keep up the good work.
God, I love you. Get the hell off the stage.
Nice work, everyone. Sharp broadcast. Really good.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Good morning, John and Gordy.
Yeah, good morning.
Yeah, you know, there was a problem when, you know, Trump can order Tommy Thompson off the stage.
In Wisconsin.
Get away with anything at that point, boy.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
6 minutes past the hour. It's Tuesday morning. It's really cold out there, 9 below 0 at the moment.
Yeah.
Highs today just in the single digits, about 8 above. This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Our friends at Verlo Mattress encourage you to sleep better and dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Ask about their lifetime comfort guarantee. You can go to the east side location or west side location. And their President's Day sale, they still may have a few last-minute bargains on that, so check it out. Or go online to verlo.com.
All right, this is the really big story.
Yeah.
We're going to hear an awful lot about this. We have a new chairman of the FCC, a conservative this time. They always switch to whatever party is in power. Mm. And this guy knows how to bend a knee to Trump, boy.
Brendan Carr?
Yeah, Brendan Carr is the guy. Yeah, he has been there a while. Mm-hmm. And he is he's a mega. He's a strict mega. And he is doing Trump's calling. This is an amazing thing. Again, we're going to hear a lot about this guy because he's going to go after everybody.
All the media?
You can forget about the First Amendment, whatever that is. This guy is
free
going
speech?
After everyone. And, you know, there is a lawsuit. Trump has sued CBS because of the edits they made on 60 Minutes, which has been going on since the beginning of 60 Minutes. Hitting the airwaves. But anyway, he is going after them. And first, let's get to Jake Tapper, who summed up the whole mess here and possible even worse than it sounds mess that we're possibly getting with that particular lawsuit because of a merger that CBS wants to happen.
Oh, okay.
All right, so let's check this out. Jake Tapper.
There's a story playing out between Paramount and CBS News, President Trump, and the Federal Communications Commission that any American who values a free and independent press should care about, including Trump supporters who should not like the precedent that is being set. The story started last fall when 60 Minutes interviewed then Vice President Kamala Harris. Then candidate Trump did not agree to sit down with the news magazine, but nonetheless, he protested how 60 Minutes edited the Harris interview. Mr. Trump said, quote, CBS should lose its license, unquote. And then Trump sued under news distortion rules for $10 billion. Now, the suit is widely regarded by legal and First Amendment experts as, well, as one put it, quote, a frivolous and dangerous attempt by a politician to control the news media. The 60 Minutes editing case would almost certainly fail spectacularly in court, according to legal experts. But Paramount Global, which owns CBS News, is currently trying to merge with Skydance Media. And in order to do that, Paramount will need the approval of the Trump administration, specifically the FCC, which, under its new commissioner, Brendan Carr, has suggested that Trump's news distortion complaint will be considered by the FCC before any merger can be approved. Enter Sherry Redstone, the owner of Paramount, who stands to make about $8 billion if this deal goes through. Said one CBS News employee to me about this, quote, everyone expects Sherry settles with Donald Trump. For Paramount to settle this suit would be hoisting a white flag of surrender. It would be the network of Edward R. Murrow, at the behest of its owners, saying, we will not speak truth to power, we will acquiesce to power at the expense of truth. As a great CBS newsman once warned about television, this instrument can teach, it can illuminate, yes, and even it can inspire, but it can do so only to the extent that humans are determined to use it to those ends. Otherwise, it's nothing but wires and lights in a box, unquote. Sherry Redstone seems to have taken the wrong lessons from that speech. If Sherry Redstone settles,
unbelievable,
she may as well take the wires and lights and the box and sell them for parts.
Jeez, wow. I hope that's a great summary for you to kind of keep you updated on what's happening with that and why these people are settling in the first place.
It's all about the money.
It really is. Now, Brendan Carr, what's he like? What's this guy all about?
Yeah.
I told you he's a MAGA, right?
Right.
But you going to take my word for it, or do you want to hear something from him that will prove my point on that?
I was just thinking I would really like to hear something from him,
Brendan,
that would prove that point to me.
Well, let's go, Brendan. This is cut 128 on this one, all right?
Okay.
Let's go.
Meanwhile, the other big story is 60 Minutes. And you said you have to turn over the transcripts of the Vice President Kamala Harris's interview because of the way obviously it was edited, and they're already being sued for $10 billion by the Trump team. Are you worried about the precedent of asking for these transcripts because now everybody that has to edit down a interview with a high-profile figure will have the same situation?
Mm-hmm. No, not at all. What's actually interesting here is the precedent we're following is the precedent that the Democrat FCC set when it came to Fox. There was a complaint lodged against Fox,
what
and so they
that?
Opened up a public proceeding on that, uh-huh. and we're simply applying that precedent. You know, look, there's a lot of people in this country right now on the radical left that
radical
are upset
left.
About this investigation into CBS and the work that I'm doing on broadcasters. And to sort of paraphrase Thomas Sowell, when the government has been weaponized in your favor, it feels like discrimination when all of a sudden there's even-handed treatment. There's a lot of people that have been on that sort of that upper road of the two-tiered system of government, and what I'm here to do is apply the law evenly. This is a rare situation where we had extrinsic evidence that CBS had played one answer or one set of words and then swapped in another set. And
no,
CBS's conduct through this, frankly, has been concerning. You know, look, they just did an interview with Vice President Vance and immediately fully disclosed
yes.
the unedited transcript. For some reason, they decided not to do that in this case. And so we've now opened a proceeding. We think it's in the public interest to allow people to participate in comment. And we're going to take this one step at a time at the FCC.
Yeah, you know, boy, the left, you know.
Radical.
You really have to, you know, watch them like like little children, you know. That is just crazy stuff, right? Okay, that's the 60 Minutes situation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, of course, Carr is going after George Soros-owned radio stations.
Oh, is that right?
Yes. So let's cue up 127 and hear how this particular problem is winding out.
But they don't seem to have a problem with another billionaire, George Soros, and his son, whose money is funding a radio station, a series of radio stations that's been accused of broadcasting live locations, by the way, in Colorado, undercover ICE agents, locations of them. Meanwhile, KCBS Radio in San Francisco reportedly told listeners on mm-hmm. January 26, get this, U.S. Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents are currently carrying out an operation on the east side of town.
Yeah.
The county's response network says agents in San Jose were in unmarked vehicles. FCC chair, Brendan Carr joins us now.
So?
He's running that probe. Concerning to you, Brendan?
Yeah, of course. Look, I try to look on the bright side of things.
Yeah.
And here, I think that's the fact that we are having an unprecedented number of deportations taking place in this country.
Mm-hmm.
And for that, thank goodness for President Trump.
Oh,
promises
my goodness,
made, promises
yes.
kept.
Oh,
he came
good.
In and said he's the person that can not only secure the border,
bend a knee,
but deport
kiss an
people
ass.
That are here illegally. And he's carrying that out with unprecedented speed.
Oh.
Thanks to Secretary Noem, Tom Homan as well. Here,
oh,
this
man.
Is really concerning. So what happened was you had ICE agents undercover doing operations in East San Jose and part of the town known for violent gang activity. And you had this radio station broadcasting the live location, identifying the unmarked vehicles that they were in. And again, against the backdrop of Democrat leaders in Congress saying it's time for people to take fights to the street against Trump's agenda. So we have sent a letter of inquiry, a formal investigation into that matter. Uh-huh. And they have just a matter of days left to respond to that inquiry and explain how this could possibly be consistent with their public interest obligations.
And I should have called you chairman. I apologize for that. In terms of USAID funding, and people are concerned about the spending here, if you want to know motivation, look at this. $377,000 from USAID workers go to Democrats, 12 go to Republicans. And you wonder if there's a political agenda there. At the very least, you have to understand, you have to understand the concern.
No.
Yeah, like when you look at USAID in particular, it has been operating as sort of a money laundering operation for all sorts of radical causes.
What?
Everything from promoting divisive DEI to actually helping to fund some of the censorship cartel operations that are taking place across the board. So it's very interesting that this is the place where Democrats have decided to to go to the ramparts.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah, it's all over the place. Know, jeez.
See? This is truly a mega. This is somebody who truly believes in the Trump agenda and is going to carry it out and do whatever he can to scare media into submission.
Yeah, compliant.
Essentially.
Sure, yeah.
It's just shocking stuff. We're going to hear so much about this guy because, you know, you're not going to be able to keep this guy down. Yeah, he's obviously an advocate.
Yes.
He's out there.
Yeah. The whole deal with Paramount and CBS, and I mean, that is all about the money.
It is.
I mean, that seems to be the driving force there. They want to get that deal done.
Just
and
like ABC
so they'll
did.
Just comply. Yeah.
They acquiesced immediately, which, you know, everybody's jaw dropped. I mean, suddenly the First Amendment means nothing to these people
apparently
at
not.
All.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's they'd stand to make a tremendous amount of money, with going to, with this merger. So that's the big problem here. We have business interests. This administration is focused on business transactions.
Sure.
Not freedom.
That's what it's all about.
Not democracy or republic. They're looking at how much money they can make. And if, if CBS gives in, Trump makes a heck of a lot of money.
And is it Sherry Redstone?
Redstone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's must be Sumner Redstone's daughter, right?
Or is it? Or wife? Or?
Wife. It could be his wife.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's big, big money.
Yeah.
On the line there. Okay.
I guess you can't make too much money, right?
Apparently not.
And just throw away the Constitution, the First Amendment, and everything. And this guy's going after everybody. Now they're going to, definitely play out what the FCC's original guiding light was, and that is to make sure that media serve the public.
Yes.
Well, I don't know if this is serving the public at all.
Doesn't seem like it.
No.
Coming up right around the corner, we'll talk to Brittany Merlot, get the update on this cold, cold weather that's settling in on John and Gordy in the Morning. Stay with us.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
That's our theme song. 92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning, celebrating winter at Go-Go with low, low, low temperatures this morning, at least. You said it's like a degree colder here in Madison, like now minus 12?
Yeah, I'm sitting at minus 12 with a minus 26 degree wind chill. So it is very, very frigid out there.
Is this
now
where you can throw a cup of water into the air and it just freezes as it comes down?
One of those.
You can actually.
One of those wacky TV weather things.
Yeah, what's that wacky? How did that work?
I think you're actually taking boiling water or something.
Oh, boiling water. That's right.
Throw it in the air.
Yeah.
And then it lands as ice.
Okay.
Yes. Got rapid evaporation. So it looks like a cloud or like kind of like snow in a sense, but it's not. It's just rapidly evaporating. But if you do toss it away from you. Yes. Sometimes those hot boiling water drops can fall on you, and let's not have that be our problem.
Right. Yeah, boy, that's a good safety tip there, Brittany.
So we're talking with Brittany Merlot here, our Civic Media meteorologist. So, yeah. Have you ever done any wacky things like that?
Wacky.
Oh, absolutely. So I threw the hot water last cold snap. I've also frozen some bubbles. If you take just the kids' bubbles, blow one, catch it on the thing, and it'll freeze. It's really cool.
Oh,
and then
okay.
One time I was on TV and I, you know, was doing some more experiments and stuff like that. And I poured water on Barbie's hair and held her upside down for about 10 seconds, flipped her back up, and her hair was standing straight up, hard as a rock, all of that. And that actually got picked up by The Daily Show. And then they were making fun of me nationally about what ridiculous meteorologists do when it's this darn cold. So.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah,
that's some national publicity.
Recognition, boy.
Good for you.
You made it. You
it was
made
embarrassing.
It.
Got the face red, but, you know, it works.
Oh, yeah, that does work. Well, now Gordy's going to, you know, try to think of something to do
that's
here.
That's okay. That's all right. So when are we going to get out of this cold snap anyway?
Well, we'll start to feel a little bit better tomorrow, but finally feeling above zero by Thursday. That's the magical day. And then, of course, as we go into the weekend and next week, we're going to be seeing some 40s. So even snow starting to melt with a nice little spring warm up around the corner. But today is still going to be pretty brutal. Highs only in the single digits with the winds still feisty. It's going to feel sub-zero all day long. So by this afternoon, about 5 below is what it'll feel like. And then we go back into probably another cold weather advisory tonight because temperatures fall back sub-zero. Winds are still moving, so we'll see some frigid wind chills again. But tomorrow, we are going to be climbing to highs in the teens, so it'll actually feel about 0 degrees or so. That'll be nice.
Oh, boy. Jeez. But I'm hearing that by the weekend, though, things really perk up, right?
They do. I mean, we're going to be flirting with 40 degrees by Sunday, and then we're going to be into the 40s on Monday and Tuesday. So some nice warm days are right around the corner. And it's been sunny all week, and it's going to stay that way. So the sunshine's nice. It's beautiful.
You know, I just wish pets felt the cold more.
What? What are you talking
Dogs.
About?
Dogs. My pet.
Come on.
My Kraken, my little border collie, well, she's pretty big now. But she doesn't seem to feel the cold at all.
Doesn't affect
We're playing
her?
Out in the yard, and I'm ready to go in. I'm desperately dying out in the yard, and this dog is still ready to go, laying down next to the ball, making sure I can't drag her into the house.
Jeez.
Maybe it's because she's running around wearing, you know, like burning the calories or something, staying warm, and we're just standing there like.
Well, she's got a wet nose. I mean, doesn't it affect the wet nose? Right?
You think? Her nose is going to freeze or
something? Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Yeah. Oh, well.
Maybe.
Anyway.
Doesn't work that way.
Well, we'll work on that one. We'll workshop that.
Okay.
All right. She'll make you suffer.
Yeah.
Well, Brittany, thank you.
Yes.
We appreciate
thank
that report, and we'll look for those warmer temperatures by the weekend.
Thanks.
Can't wait.
All right. It's Brittany Merlot, our Civic Media meteorologist.
All right.
And this portion of the John and Gordy Show is brought to you by David J. Frank. They are your turnkey, one-stop landscaping resource for business or for residential, celebrating 65 years of doing lawn care, trimming, shaping, pruning, flower care. They can do it all. David J. Frank, the largest landscape contractor in Wisconsin. They deliver exactly what you need and want and expect. And they have the talent, experience, passion, and wherewithal with a high degree of professionalism. Check them out at davidjfrank.com.
Yeah.
John?
Well, the big news was Michelle King, the acting commissioner of the Social Security Administration, was ousted out by Elon.
Was she ousted or did she leave of her own accord?
Well, you know, I mean,
think she quit.
I think there was a definite disagreement about accessing sensitive files.
Yeah.
It just seems, I know there were protests all across America yesterday.
Yeah, that's right. It was National Day of Protests.
Yeah.
And one here in Madison,
You could see a lot of people turned out, especially in this very cold weather. it was an amazing show of force by the American people, not happy about this. One announcer said, you know, you didn't see a lot of this during the Biden administration. People out in the street protesting what Biden was doing, right?
Right.
So anyway, she left. And now, you know, Elon Musk is in charge of our Social Security Administration. Mm. Wow. All right. And a billionaire.
That's a little scary.
How about a billionaire spending millions on taxpayer funds for a publicity stunt that offers no value to Americans while they drive in circles, in a perfect metaphor of the Trump administration? What am I talking about?
What are you talking about?
I'm talking about Trump's little circle around Daytona 500.
Oh, that. Yeah. How much did that cost?
Yeah, how much did that cost? Driving around in circles.
Several million.
Again, a great metaphor. Mm. And get this. All seven of Musk's companies, which include XAI, Neuralink, Starlink, and the Boring Company, in addition to Tesla and SpaceX, have netted a combined $20 billion in U.S. government contracts and subsidies, according to the Financial Times.
Wow.
So he's making money doing this closing up shop thing for the U.S. government.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
$20 million or $20 billion?
$20 billion.
Good Lord.
Yes. So,
hey,
well, you know, he's getting ahead. You know, this guy just is a very scary looking dude to me.
Well, he has more contracts than anybody else, right?
Yeah.
In the world. Yeah. With the U.S. government.
But he just looks brutal and cold and ruthless and doesn't give a damn. He doesn't understand the departments that he's putting on hold, that he's disbanding, the buildings he's locking up. He doesn't get any of that stuff.
He doesn't.
But he's getting away with doing it.
Coming up, we're going to talk to Allison Madison from the Wisconsin Saltwise program. Coming up on John and Gordy in the Morning.
It's the John and Gordy Show.
This portion of the show is being brought to you by Mouthwash Cola Soda Pop, the all-new soda pop that cleans your breath while it rots your teeth.
It tastes so good.
Yeah, it does. Yeah. Gotta like the flavor.
734, 92.7 WMDX, John and Gordy in the Morning. You can call us at 608-879-8255. Call us or text us there. Or use the Civic Media app to do just that. Time for us to welcome in Allison Madison from the Wisconsin Saltwise program. Good morning, Allison.
Good morning, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Yeah.
Good to have you with us. So tell us about the Wisconsin Saltwise program. What is this all about?
Yeah, so Wisconsin Saltwise is a coalition of organizations across the state that are working to reduce salt pollution in our lakes, streams, and drinking water. So the focus is mostly on reducing road salt pollution, but also gets into water softener salt as well.
Ah, yes.
So this time of year, this is a big deal. This is a big issue because what are you supposed to do? I mean, people have to use some of that salt anyway so people don't slip and fall on the sidewalks.
That's right. Well, I heard one of the biggest problems was too much salt around apartment buildings. You know, people are using salt to prevent lawsuits from people slipping and sliding in front of their buildings or outside of their buildings. So they're using a lot of salt. I understand that was a major problem, you know, using salt around buildings.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So what we see right now in Wisconsin is that we're putting down between 1 to 2 million tons of salt a year. That's a lot of salt, right?
Wow. Yeah, that's a lot.
And it does. It melts snow and ice, and then it moves into whatever water bodies or our groundwater, drinking water in the state. And I know you've said, you know, earlier, like, we know we have to use salt, but I would actually push back against that a little bit. I had someone visiting me this summer from Germany, and I tried to explain my job to him. And at first I thought maybe there's a language barrier. And then he just came out and said, but what do you mean? People are putting salt on sidewalks. In my city, it's illegal to put salt on a sidewalk.
Hmm.
You can use salt on roads,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. And if there's very steep steps or something, people could use some salt, but otherwise you use sand or something for traction.
Yes.
So we've become normalized to think, oh, it's winter, salt goes down, I'm gonna be crunching on salt, but it hasn't always been this way in Wisconsin. It's not this way in other states and countries.
I know tracking in salt into the house is not a good thing, so I try to use as little salt as possible, mix it in with sand. I think a lot of people use that mix, mm-hmm. you know, to try yep. to help, you know, spread that salt out a little bit. But you mentioned water softeners, and they use a lot of salt, a lot of salt. I didn't even think about that. So what do we do about that? You can't do anything. I know maybe other countries have ways of dealing with hard water. Well, what's the solution on that? What are we looking at?
Yeah, so locally right now, the Madison Metropolitan Sewerage District, it receives, I believe, it's 100,000 pounds of salt a day. So we're talking pounds now, not tons, right? Mm-hmm. This isn't true for all wastewater treatment plants. In the Madison area, we do have quite hard water, right? Naturally, mm-hmm. it's very rich in calcium and magnesium, mm-hmm. which is kind of what makes water hard. And then those minerals kind of recalcify, right, on our faucets. And people are concerned about them in their pipes. So water softeners, salt-based water softeners is one kind of solution, right?
Right.
We're exchanging the calcium and magnesium for sodium. So knowing that people really have gotten used to that soft water and want that, the Madison Sewerage District is not necessarily doing a lot to promote the salt-free alternatives, which are out there, but they don't soften water. So they can work to reduce the scale that build up, but they don't put any sodium in, so they don't actually soften water. But one of the solutions they have been promoting is the use of blending valves. So what these do is they allow a little bit of hard water through. So I'd say most people, you want to make sure that you're, one, only softening your hot water. We don't really need to soften cold water. We don't really want to be drinking sodium with every, you know, glass of water.
Yeah.
That we have, that's not great for our, you know, heart health. Mm-hmm. But the blending valves allow a little bit of hard water through. So for instance, instead of softening from maybe 25 grains per gallon down to zero, mm-hmm. we would soften down to maybe like 8, which is what Lake Michigan water is naturally at. And so that's a, you know, very kind of, I want to say like tolerable, like normal amount of calcium and magnesium in water that, mm-hmm. you know, we can have, we're not going to see build up. But yeah, that's something. I think they're running a pilot or just starting a pilot right now in Middleton to try to get residents to try out these blending valves. And I have a little video on my website about the blending valves and how they work.
Okay. You can kind of adjust, you know, your salt intake or your softening ability in your softener. Right?
Yep.
Is that mm-hmm. like the blending valve? Is that similar to like that, you know, adjusting it to its, so it's not so soft?
Yeah. So that's what the blending valve can do, allow a little bit through so it's not as soft. You can also make other adjustments with mm-hmm. your water softener for household water use and the local water hardness. So it kind of changes. Can get really geeky with this, but it's like kind of like the buffering capacity of a water softener, like when it's going to say, okay, stop, like yeah, I need to right. reset. So like if you think about your car gas tank, I do this is I think a pretty good analogy. Like the older water softeners, it would be like every 3 days, even if you hadn't used any hot water, they were going to recharge, regenerate, right? So that's kind of like every 3 days, even if you didn't drive, you go to Quick Trip, you dump out your entire gas tank there in the parking lot, and you just pay to fill it up again. Like, that doesn't make any sense, right?
Right.
So newer softeners only are set to regenerate when you've actually used up most of your gas tank. But it's kind of like they get to that, I don't know, in my car, it seems like about 40 miles left, and then it says stop, and it would be like, okay, we're going to kind of dump that out and regenerate now. So you can kind of change when it hits that, like, that light in your car to say stop, like, you need to fill up your gas tank, but it doesn't just fill it up, it dumps out what's left, and then it resets.
Yeah.
Alice, we're talking with Allison Madison from the Wisconsin Saltwise Program. So this is a statewide program. Is this a nonprofit? Tell us about the organization and how you're getting the word out about the use of salt.
Yeah, the website.
Yeah. So Wisconsin Salt, an area with a wastewater treatment plant, as you know, we talked about earlier, they have a reason to kind of care about this. The city of Madison, Dane County, Madison-Dane County Public Health, the water utility, all saying, we've got a problem, right? Like, we're seeing sodium and chloride levels just continue to rise in our lakes locally, but also in our drinking water. And in our streams, we can actually see huge spikes in salt in the winter months. So we need to do something about this. So they started a campaign locally to do more education and training for plow operators as well as contractors. And then the focus right now on road salt, it's not, like I said, we really need to have a bigger kind of societal kind of mindset shift around how we use salt. But right now it's just an emphasis on best practices because we see so much over salting and a lot of agencies across the state. So Saltwise started in the Madison area and now kind of working statewide. So I'm the program manager. So I work around the state. Literally, I was just in the Milwaukee area, Whitefish Bay, yesterday talking with their Department of Public Works staff. I go, you know, over to Grant County, Highway Department, Lancaster, up to, you know, Bayfield. So all over the state, a lot of miles in my car the last few years. But yeah, there are a lot of folks that are making changes. So simple things like calibrating equipment so you actually know how much salt you're putting down per lane mile or on the contractor side, kind of per acre. And then you can dial that in based on pavement temperature. And then a lot of people probably are seeing the utilization of brine. So that diluted salt water. And those practices and also better mechanical removal are allowing agencies to drop their salt use 30, 40, 50, sometimes above 50%. I've had some people come back and tell me we're using 70% less salt than we used to.
Wow.
Yeah.
Quite the difference.
You know, I tried this salt alternative thing where you put wires around your pipes and it negatively charges the particles in the water in a different way so it doesn't cling to the pipes and it keeps, you know, your pipes clean. I don't know if that actually worked or not, but because you don't know, but I do know that if it did work, it expels all of the minerals out of your faucet, and that's great, right? But it really kind of builds up on your sink and your countertop and all the, you know, all of the faucets. So it's not a great thing. So, you know, if there's another way to do it, and I think John and Gordy are, you know, we're putting out our gallon containers of cheese brine.
Cheese brine, it goes great on different kinds, like baked potatoes.
Yeah. Yes, you can use it on food as well.
Anyway. We do actually have the reuse of some cheese brine down in Greene County. Highway department there is reclaiming some cheese brine and mixing it in with their brine that they're making with rock salt.
Oh, okay. Mm. I'm wondering if it smells, you know.
After a while?
Add a little flavor to it. All right. Well,
Allison, if people want to become involved with the Wisconsin Saltwise program, how do they do that?
So I would say check out our socials, Facebook, Instagram, or the website. On the website, we have all of our classes get posted, although right now I will say it, we have our 2024 kind of class schedule up right now, but we do have monthly webinars. So there'll be one coming up early March with someone from Glendale talking about the work that they've done at their municipality. So I'd say kind of, just engage with the webinars, socials. You could email me, wisaltwise@gmail.com, to kind of learn more if you have some specific questions. But I'd say that the biggest push is really in the fall, kind of August through December, as people are gearing up for, you know, the winter season. We have a lot of training classes and equipment open houses, but those are geared more towards winter maintenance professionals But for the average person, I'd say kind of tune in through the website and the socials.
All right. And that's .com, Wisconsin Saltwise.
W-I Saltwise.
Right.
Yeah, W-I Saltwise.com.
Excellent. All right.
Thank you.
Definitely going to check that out. I know you got some videos or at least advice there. I'll have to look, see. All right.
We appreciate it. Allison Madison from the Wisconsin Saltwise program. Right. Thanks for being with us this morning.
Thanks so much, guys. Take care.
Right. Yep. Take care.
Have a great day.
All right.
So
well, that's something.
Good information there.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, you know, it's we got to do something. Those levels keep going up in the lake.
I know. And, I know. That's know, an awful just, lot of salt in the waters. But, you know, these – I wish there was a different way to treat these the salt problem that we have in our homes.
We've got some comments on the YouTube stream today. Okay. In the original Star Trek, there was an episode – The Man Trap, a salt-eating creature, extracted salt from its victims by luring it to take its salt. Yes. I haven't seen much of the original Star Trek. That's great. They also say, I use a reverse osmosis system in my Wisconsin homes to remove between 90% and 90% of that salt from my drinking water. Take that, salt monster.
There you
wow,
go.
Reverse osmosis.
Yeah, I have that under my sink.
Is that?
I do, yeah.
Really?
It's really good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Works, huh?
Well, it does.
Okay. All right.
You know, the thing is, you know, we put it under the sink and it was all fine. And it takes about a year for me to get up enough energy to try to change the filters.
I see.
And then maybe it goes a little past that year. Mm. And then when I finally give up, knowing that I'm never going to get to it, I call the plumber in, the people that installed it.
Gotcha.
And they do it. And when I look at the filters, oh my God, it's like black tar.
Is it really?
In the
After
filter.
A year?
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, it's really awful. That's the first filter. So then we put a whole house filter on just to get rid of all that black stuff and all the grain that comes through.
Mm.
You know, it's a nightmare. You know, I just
Sounds
want to start
like
over.
It. Yeah. Thanks for sharing that. Yeah. It is 7:49.
Wow.
Coming back with tidbits, odd stuff. All leftovers, right. all
we,
that.
We got that.
Prepped coming up next.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Let us vote.
It's L-U-V. Primary day.
Yeah. Boyce and Hart. It's Boyce and Hart.
Tommy Boyce and Bobby Hart.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
This portion of the John and Gordy Morning Show is brought to you by Verlo Mattress. Sleep better, dream bigger on a handcrafted Verlo mattress. Check them out on Madison's east side or west side or go to verlo.com. Be sure to ask about their lifetime comfort guarantee. And the President's mattress sale, you know, that's still maybe going on.
Yeah.
There may be some last-minute deals there. So check it out at verlo.com. Catherine Lake has joined us in the studio. Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Sorry.
You waking up there with the headphones?
I was just amused that Sam was making, you know, sleepy gestures while you were doing your...
You know, when are we going to get Maddie the mattress in here from Verlo? This was everybody was like, "Well, we're going to come in and we're going to have a couple of interviews."
It's his job.
Yes.
Well, people are
Maddie is a very busy mattress.
A lot of angry.
Got a lot of events coming up. A lot of personal appearances. Really?
That they, you know, they're angry that, you know, they're watching the video, they're driving to work, watching their phone while they're listening to it on the radio.
Right.
And, you know, they're angry that they're not getting better visuals.
And, right.
Is that true?
And we should have Maddie the mattress on. So at least we add to the visual effect of this podcast.
Well, we've got those puppets, you know, that are still
that's true. I still want you to do that. Yeah, I absolutely want you to do that.
I wish we had done that.
Should have, would have, could have, you know. Learned a lot about salt today. That was really interesting.
Yes.
I know how I have a house now. I have to worry about. I never had it in Chicago. Here, it's different. Or the water's particularly hard here.
It is.
Because of the isthmus and the lakes,
A lot of limestone in this area.
I didn't know that was the reason.
Yeah? Everything going okay for you? Are you getting a new refrigerator, I heard?
I hope.
Did you actually buy one?
Here's the sad thing. I did. I went out and bought my refrigerator died the day before my party. And I didn't know it because it was sort of hanging in there a little bit. The freezer is still working. Mm-hmm. Which is somebody in, who knows about refrigerators is going, oh, well, then you should fix it because if the freezer's working, the fridge is just a fan. Just do that. No, I'm getting a whole new kitchen, and I'm going to get a nice new fridge. This is a decades-old fridge. It has lived. It has given all it can give.
So you're going with the television version of the refrigerator?
No. I don't want any special buttons. I'm going to KitchenAid, but whatever. I bought it yesterday.
Okay, all right.
So it's going to be delivered and blah, blah, blah. Yeah. But here's the funny part. Mm. I turned my garage into a fridge. But it's too cold, right? So it's not a fridge, it's a freezer.
Yes.
So to keep the food that I bought for that party that I have so much left over, I put a space heater in my garage to get it up to 40 degrees. I have a space heater running.
This is nuts.
I blew a fuse trying to use the microwave at the same time. Somehow my garage and my microwave are on the same frequency or whatever you call it.
Your microwave should have its own circuit.
It should, yeah. But I've in a 1977 house.
Well, when you get that kitchen redone,
we're having some electric. Yeah, we're having some electric done too.
Now it seems like, you know, maybe you have a 15 amp. You should go to a 20 amp.
Okay. I'll remember that, 15 to 20.
If it's easy to rewire it, you don't want to have to rewire the house. Just, you know, if it's easy to do that, just to have a few circuits in there at 20 amps, it really does help.
Okay.
15 amp, you can overload those with space. Well, toasters and coffee machines all on at once, maybe even a George Foreman grill. I'm talking about the problems I have.
I love my George Foreman grill.
Yeah, but you can't toast the buns and the toaster at the same time you got the George Foreman grill
really?
On.
Really? You have that same? Oh, my God, I'm going to have a problem. Okay. Mm-hmm. So 20.
Separate.
20, 21, separate whatever times. It takes. Yeah.
So when are you getting the new fridge today?
Today or tomorrow.
Wow.
My guy, Jose, who you will meet someday, he's really interesting, and he is developing. He's Jose. He's from Mexico, right? His origination, but he's been here all his life.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So he's developing a nonprofit to help put to work people who, and then help get them citizenship. He's putting something together to protect some of his compadres, if you will.
Yeah. Interesting.
And I want to have you talk to him about it.
All right. Yeah. Okay. Sure.
We'll do that. All right.
Well, you know.
Yeah,
the FCC is going after people warning immigrants in this country now.
We're seeing it start, right? The FCC is starting to start do little things. We're seeing a little. Well, you said the CBS.
Big deal.
That was
a
big
CBS.
Right, but you know the radio stations that George Soros has, Odyssey or.
Sinclair?
I'm not sure.
I think it is. But anyway, he has these radio stations, and the announcers were saying, there's ICE agents on the east side of town. I think that's pretty unspecific. I'm not quite sure you can say, they've been tipping them off. So what? That's what radio is all about. That's community involvement, isn't it?
It's our obligation.
That's our obligation. So they're going after them for the obligation for not fulfilling their obligation, supposedly. It's flipping everything upside down.
Well, that's what they're doing. It's like they've taken the whole country and turned it upside down and started shaking it.
Well, they are.
And we're here to cover it for
Thank you.
Thank you. So don't forget, it's primary day. Polls are open.
Yeah.
Speech with the Gov tonight.
That's right. Yes.
I'll be there taking some photos.
Yeah. Very good.
It's so frustrating, the speeches that he gives, because they're really well-constructed. He's got great ideas. He really wants to help the state out, use our tax dollars to help ourselves, and yet the Republicans refuse to do it.
Yeah. We will have coverage here throughout the Civic Media Network. That's going to do it for us for today. Stephanie Miller is next. Mike McCabe will join us tomorrow, because it's Wednesday.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Have a great day.
Take care, everybody.
So long.
Is the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.